and welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with Kate and Harry, not the royals, but actually our very own Kate and Harry Styles.
Hey! Nice, Amelia.
Thanks. Thank you. The Princess Switch 3.
Incredible.
Is it
real,
though?
Real downslide from the first note to the second note.
Yeah. And Thanksgiving dishes.
Wow. All right.
Incredible.
Before I get into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Psst. Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Today's Tea Time Checks In With is presented by Grey Goose Vodka. There are many ways to enjoy a martini, but only one Grey Goose Vodka. Grey Goose is truly a product of remarkable imagination, made with France's finest wheat and naturally limestone-filtered water, distilled only once to honor its original flavors and aromas, because they're that exquisite. Speaking of the quintessential martini, let's get into the essential pop culture news. Okay, you've all been waiting for it. We've been anxiously anticipating Kate potentially going to this Harry Styles concert. Thought it wouldn't happen, but it did. So our first category is Tea Time is checking in with Kate's sanity post-Harry Styles. Kate, welcome. Hello. How are you?
I'm so great. First of all, I want to thank everyone on this podcast for dedicating this first segment to me. I know it was a slow news week and the segment was empty until yesterday when I got a ticket and Liz was like, let's just have Kate talk. So that's great. I feel loved. And I love the energy that people gave me when I slid into the Tea Time group chat and was like, guys, I got a ticket. They gave me those all caps reactions that I was hoping for. Okay, so as you know, I've been on a journey for the past month trying to get Harry Styles ticket. Didn't get one before the pandemic and have been, you know, got teenagers just trying to scam me on Twitter, StubHub sellers trying to just rob me blind.
Rude.
But he had 3 shows this week in LA. When this publishes, it'll be Friday. So he'll have his second show and then his third shows on Saturday. But his first show was yesterday on Wednesday. And I was like, I just want to go to this one. Like, I just want to go. I want to, I'm tired of thinking about this. So I spent literally the entire workday, if you're my bosses, this is a joke. I spent the whole workday refreshing Ticketmaster. I literally had it up on like a side of my screen and like literally every couple minutes would just refresh it and wait for people to get rid of their tickets and to try to find one that was a reasonable price.
Sure.
And after about 5 hours of that, around like 2 p.m., my patience paid off and I snagged
Amazing.
One. So kids, you know, just wait it out. And good things come to those who put off their duties to refresh Ticketmaster.
Sure.
So I went to the show yesterday. It was great. I was in like the 100 section. So it was like the lower bowl. And I have to tell you, there were a couple things that I wanted to have happen for my Harry Styles tour experience. So first of all, he wears a different custom Gucci outfit on every leg of the tour. And it really varies. Sometimes it's like, you know, sparkly shirt and bell bottom. Sometimes it's like a suit. And then occasionally on this tour, he'll just forego the shirt altogether and wear some sort of like vest or like just suspenders and like pants or like a feathered jacket and pants. But like, I was like, I don't want a shirt. Like, I don't want to see it. Get it out of here. Like, if he does not free the nip on my whatever show I go to, like, I would like a refund. So that was my number one thing.
Okay.
I was
what
like,
what did you wear?
I wore like a fun blazer. you know,
nice, fitting.
I didn't have a lot of time to come up with something, so you know, had to work with what I had. But
I think a blazer, that's smart. Yeah, I think that's good.
For sure. It wasn't. I'll get into the fan outfits in a moment, but it wasn't up to par with some that I saw. So yeah, Harry freed the nip. He freed all four of the nips.
Let's stop there. That's a natural pause. I have no idea what you're talking about. In fact, actually, when I read this in the outline, my first thought was maybe that you freed your own nips. And then, because you said all four. And I was like, two from Harry and two from you.
I really got into it. Really got into it.
Four.
And we wouldn't blame you.
No, absolutely not. You should. I mean, but what's up?
No. So Harry Styles has four nipples, for those who do not know. He has the two regularly placed nipples. And then he has two lower, smaller nipples that are slightly like mismatched, kind of like lower down on his abdomen area. We're getting deep into like the One Direction lore.
Is it lore?
like how a cat has multiple nipples.
Okay.
Some people are born with like an extra set lower down. Okay. So he has like really little extra nipples lower down.
Okay.
Maybe it was like a twin situation where he ate the other twin in the womb. Maybe.
You know, I cannot confirm or deny.
I feel like that's the only logical reason. But.
I don't know. I know it happens occasionally, but he does have four. So all four of them were on display last night. He wore like a velvet green, like Gucci fringed vest, no shirt, bell bottoms, which I was like, that's all I wanted. Thank you. That was number one on my list. Check. Also, I have to say, at the height of my One Direction fandom in like 2013, when I was in high school, that was when he got that butterfly tattoo on his chest. Oh, yeah. So I was like, I just felt seeing it in action for 2 hours last night. I was like, this feels right. You know,
that's
feeling like we've come 10 years later. 10 years. We've come full circle. You know,
I've grown.
The butterfly tattoo has grown with me. Number two on my list, there's a song that Harry does occasionally on his tours that has never been released on an album. He wrote it like for his very first like solo debut, and he's only ever done it like on his first tour and then like very occasionally on future tours. It's called Medicine. And there's a line in Medicine that says, it's something like, the boys and the girls are in, I mess around with him and I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. And it's just obviously the fans like latched onto that the first time they heard it. They were like, bisexual anthem, like, we love it, we're obsessed. So he doesn't do it very often. The only time he's done it on this tour was in New York. But I was like, New York, LA, like two of a kind. Like, he should do it in LA. Sure. It's only fair. So he did in fact do it. So that was number two on my list. I was like,
nice.
I got the nipples, I got the bisexual anthem. Like, what more can I want? And then number three on my list, I don't know if anyone has seen my thread of Harry Styles TikToks on Twitter or if anyone has just seen Harry Styles TikTok.
Yeah.
But he has this moment in all of his concerts on this tour where it's like he just banters with like the fans and he just walks around and like looks at signs and like sometimes he sings like happy birthday to people or he'll like talk to somebody about whatever they've written on their sign or like it's kind of just like Harry Styles comedy hour. But it's also like, you know, he's just trying to sort of interact and like communicate with the people who are like right in front of him. So a couple times on tour, he has helped people come out. So like in one, the one that went viral was like this girl was like, help me come out to my mom. Like she's in section 226. So like like read her sign and then he like ran over to her mom and he was like, she's gay. And the whole room was like, ah.
Oh my God.
So yesterday he also helped someone come out. So there was a girl in the front row that was like, her sign was like, help me come out. So he was like, okay, do you want to do this? And my favorite thing is like, I feel like there are some performers, sorry, this is getting very earnest, but you let me do this. So I'm just going to do it.
Go for it.
I feel like there are some performers that really would make it like comedy hour, you know, and try to be like, you know, just like over the top with it. But he's like very, like he'll get down and be like, what's your name? Like, who are you with? Like, do you want to do it? Do you want me to give you the mic? Do you want me to say it? Like, can I read it? Is it okay if I tell them like what your sign says? You know what I mean? It's like not like it's very, it's all like a lot of like consent and like, are you comfortable with this? And are you good with like me? Like, are you down? Can I have your flag? Can I do this? So like, he talked to this girl named Brenda and he was like, okay, like we're going to do it. I'll do it for you. And then like he took her flag, which was like the bisexual pride flag. And he was like, when I raised it above my head, like you're out. Like that's how it works. I looked it up online. So then like he did this whole thing and like ran around with the flag and was like, Brenda. And then she like came out to the whole stadium.
Cute.
So it was very sweet. And yeah, I just am like who, I don't know. I would never be able to be like, okay, for the next 10 minutes, I'm just going to banter with fans and like, this is going to go fine. You know, like,
that's funny. Yeah.
So, that was great. And it was nice to experience my own little Harry Styles TikTok moment. Shout out to the fan outfits. You asked what I wore, which was very basic, but I have to say, I think concert style has changed since we were younger. And like, no one really wears, I mean, it's not, this is a broad generalization, but like fewer people are wearing like, you know, band shirts or, you know, things like that. And like, it's turned into like a cosplay event. Like
it has.
Every person at this concert, not every person, but like literally a majority were like dressed like Harry Styles. So like, it was almost like Halloween. Like I was standing next to someone who was dressed as Harry from the Grammys, which were, there were Grammys Harrys everywhere. Cause it was like, he just wore like a leather blazer and like leather pants and a green boa. So like those were everywhere. There was one next to me. They were all over. I saw people like dressed as like his photo shoots. Like there was someone who recreated like his Vogue dress that he wore that like was all like the controversial on Fox News thing. Like there was someone walking around in that. There were people in like watermelon sugar outfits, like full suits, like bell bottoms. I was like, I've never seen so many boas in my entire life.
Yeah, this is a real thing. I went to a Casey Musgraves concert on a college campus, which is also scary because the teens are like just so much cooler than me in general. But people were decked out in exactly what you're saying, like iconic Casey Musgraves outfit. And I was in a t-shirt and I was like, God damn it. I didn't get the memo, but now I know.
Yeah. I was unqualified as well. And I will be. I mean, these are like my demo is like all of like the pop artists where like the teens like do this and it's amazing. But yeah, I don't know if I have it in me, but I was very impressed. There was so much glitter, so many outfits. So yeah, it was great. I was so impressed by their commitment. And then really quickly, I just have to manifest this for his final two shows. So BTS is in town. They are doing concerts in a couple weeks. And I have to tell you, no one is a bigger fan of Harry Styles than the fucking K-pop industry. These idols love Harry Styles. So including several members of BTS. So yesterday, as I was getting ready for the show, it occurred to me, I was like, BTS is in LA. Harry Styles is in LA. In the past, members of BTS have gone to like concerts of artists that they like. Jungkook went to Ariana Grande. It was like front row at Ariana Grande a couple years ago when she was on tour and like they overlapped in LA. I was like, what if, like hypothetically, what if BTS is at this Harry Styles concert?
Oh my God. Well,
so it didn't happen yesterday. However, I'm manifesting it for Friday or Saturday. I just,
that's nice of you.
I don't need to be there. I just want it to happen. I think I would just like ascend to a higher plane. Like if any interaction, if any interaction
happens. That's pretty generous of you. That's generous of you.
I just really want them to like interact, acknowledge each other's existence.
I love that. I have a few more questions. Do you mind if I ask a few more? Okay, cool. Were there any opening acts?
Jenny Lewis was the opening act, which was very exciting. She was great. She sang a song about her dog that she wrote in quarantine.
Jenny, are you serious? Wow, yeah, that's shocking to me.
She was so good. She had like a velvet like suit outfit on. It was awesome. Yeah.
Oh my God. I loved her. I love Rilo Kiley.
Casey Musgraves opened for him the last time I saw him. So like, batting 1,000 on openers for Harry Styles. Oh my
God. Okay. Great and then stuff. Also, did you get any merch?
I did. Okay, I wasn't going to because I actually didn't love. This is what I always do. I'm like, I'm not going to do it this time, and then I always give in. It has on it, like a bunny print. And I like wasn't sure I was going to do it, and then I ended up getting a tote bag and a shirt. Also because I wanted they make you do the clear bags, and I didn't want to carry my stupid tiny clear bag around when I was in there.
Oh, so why
I
got not?
I justified the tote bag that way.
Yeah.
Was the line long for the merch?
You know, it wasn't just because they had like 1,000 different places that you could do it. So, yeah, I am a sucker for tour merch, I have to say.
I get it. I mean, it's fun. They make it like fun.
Yeah, and it's then, like a souvenir.
Right, exactly. And then like one time, my friend and I went to like the Miley Cyrus concert and like she was selling like rolling paper and like it was just very it was like her banners era.
I do like when they do that, like when they sort of like, you know, make it, it's not all just t-shirts, it's and like sweatshirts, they actually personalize it to
Did he do like, was he selling like watermelon with sugar on it or something? I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
You know, you're right. He should have. He should have done something like that. No, his was pretty basic, actually.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's a little disappointing, but.
Yeah, it's all right. He did have his new nail polish line there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I did not get it. I don't like the colors, but I thought about it. If they're like, he has like a pink polish, a blue polish, black and white. I'm like, these aren't.
Oh.
The colors I want to put like, on my fingernails.
Give us rainbow.
Yeah.
Like, give us a rainbow
like something
one.
More subtle.
Give us glitter.
Yeah.
Or
glitter,
that,
definitely.
You know?
Yeah. I know. Hmm. But yeah.
We're happy for you, Kate. We really
we are. So we're very happy
you get it
for
all
you.
Out. Any other last words before we move on to the
no,
next category?
No, I do appreciate, I got so many messages from people who were really concerned about whether I got a ticket. And at first I was like, wow, this is so sweet. And then I remember that I've been talking about this for like 4 podcasts in a row.
Yeah.
Force people to care.
Of course.
So thank you for caring. And I did get a ticket and I appreciate all of your concern.
That's on behalf funny. Of all of us, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
This year, stir up the holiday cheers with the vodka your martini has been waiting for, Grey Goose. Vive le martini. You know you deserve only the best, so head to drinkgreygoose.com and use code DISH for free shipping. Sip responsibly, imported by Grey Goose Importing Company, Coral Gables, Florida. Vodka, 40% alcohol by volume, distilled from French wheat.
Let's do the next category. This is not worth the tea this week in social media and relationship news all mashed up into one. Amelia, what do you got?
Well, I feel like this is such a letdown from our
not.
Previous.
It's not.
It's
hit
not.
It.
Okay. So Matthew McConaughey.
Mine's worse coming after yours. So I'm happy to talk about
yours
this.
Is funny though. Mine is just like Matthew McConaughey is like he smoked a joint and was like, I'm going to talk about pickles. and he did. He actually employed not only a pickle, but a cucumber in this tweet. And I guess it was National Pickle Day, and he was just like,
sure,
I want to talk to you about the origin story of pickles. And then he was just like, he brought out a cucumber and was like, it's big, plump, and firm, a bunch of promise, all package, no product. Yeah, I know. That's my Matthew McConaughey impression. And
really good.
Thank you. And then he was like, and then now it's a pickle, and it's not as firm as it once was. But we get the product behind the packaging. And then he goes on, he's just like, the pickle. It's like, this tickles my fancy. And it's just like, oh my God. Like, no wonder Lincoln has employed him as their spokesperson. This guy knows how to captivate an audience. And I've watched this video several times and I'm like, God, I want a sweet gherkin now. So
did you say he smoked beforehand? Like he was high?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, like, that was a joke. I'm sorry.
I don't know that.
Right. But he just like was just like, let me tell you a little bit about pickles.
And that I
was
is like, the vibe. Oh. That's the vibe that he's giving for sure.
It was amazing.
His face is so close to the camera. I'm looking at this video now.
Incredibly close. It's incredibly close. Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating.
So, yeah.
And then, he said the tweet was pickles 101 hashtag National Pickle Day. Interesting.
Right. Yeah. He brought out a cucumber too. It was just like, it was a real educational moment.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So fascinating.
Thank you, Matthew. Yeah.
Interesting. Next piece of news is even worse. And I'm only saying and bringing these people up in this show up because it went really, really viral. And
it was
Penn Badgley.
Too.
Was funny. Who like we like on the show. Penn Badgley, not the other people I'm going to talk about. But you guys might have seen this go viral online. It's the Fox News Laura Ingraham segment on the Ingraham angle. And I want to say that the segment that they were doing on the show is titled Numbers Don't Lie, Viewers Like Woke-Free TV, which, okay.
Sure.
So she brought on a guest, Raymond Arroyo. They're talking about, I guess, woke TV, which like, okay. And Arroyo is talking about, I was watching an episode of You when the measles came up. And then Laura Ingraham interrupts and is like, wait, when did I mention measles? And then he goes, I don't know. It was on You. And then they say, what was on me? What are you talking about? And it's this little banter back and forth about how there's a miscommunication about how he's referencing the Netflix show You with Penn Badgley.
Right.
She thinks he's saying you as in you, Laura Ingraham. They go back and forth for what feels like eternity. And then they just say, never mind, you know. Ha ha, let's move on. He gets frustrated. So it was funny, but then it turns out that this whole freaking thing is scripted and this little bit on Fox News.
What?
Yeah. So that people were like almost charmed by this interaction because they thought it was a miscommunication. But no, it was scripted, which is what I needed to inform the people.
Oh,
was that
wow.
Don't believe Fox News ever, but certainly not on their like quote funny.
Like really engineered to go viral. Wow. Yes, that's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah,
do that.
And it, wow. I mean, it worked. Penn Badgley tweeted and he goes, definitely a bit. His delivery is great though, which made this other guy like have this like also funny like banter with Penn Badgley. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, just get out of here. So
I just thought it was two dumbasses doing like a Abbott and Costello routine. Yeah. You know, who's on first? Anyone? Right. Anyone? No.
Yes. So that's what made it like completely soured that I was just like, oh my God, I hate everybody. Yeah. I hate everybody. So that was that.
That's good to know.
Stay smart out there. Okay. And then my next piece of news is just wrapping up also like a multi-pod discussion, which is Paris Hilton's wedding. It happened. It was at the estate that she moved, you know, at the last minute. Again, this is for her Peacock series, Paris in Love.
God.
Shocking few amount of details about this wedding. Maybe I was clicking on the wrong articles. Everyone was focused on her and Carter Room's love, which I am less interested in than the lavish and luxury of their actual wedding ceremony.
Yeah.
But yeah, that happened. You guys, we did it. It's done. She's married. She's really excited to start a family. That's all I got.
Also, did you see that apparently he has a love child?
Yes, I did, Amelia. A 9-year-old daughter who he has seen once her entire life.
Wow. Damn.
But according to this article, I think it was on Page Six, he financially provides for her.
Okay.
But there was some anonymous source. Did you read this? That was like, she's very sad about not being a part of his life and she wants to be connected.
Oh,
all this
sad.
Really sad stuff. I was like, oh my God.
Ugh. I was wondering what was wrong with him that he had to be with Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
There's and always now, something.
Yeah. So there it is right
now
there.
Now you know.
Yeah. I hope we don't. They can just lay low. They're going to, quote, travel for a bit. So they can do that. And I don't want to think about this wedding for a while longer.
It's interesting. I feel like she is having I'm happy for her. And I think all the shit that she endured sucks. And I'm happy that, you know, she's a better person from it. And mm-hmm. There's some stuff that she has said that's like just not good. Mm-hmm. And I think people kind of forget that whole aspect and are just like, let's re-examine and be happy for this person. And then it's just like, well, she also actually has some valid criticism, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, I think it's very interesting kind of re-looking at these people who were really big, you know, 20 years mm-hmm. ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. But sorry, I don't mean to be like, in this TED Talk, I will. But
yeah, both things can be true. You can be interested in like her sort of like rebirth as celebrity and also be
totally.
Like, this was trash and she's probably a garbage person. You know, like,
exactly.
I think
both
things can be true for sure.
Right. Exactly. And actually on that note, because people brought up an image of her, Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears getting into a car like 14 years ago. Yeah. You remember that? Well, Britney, mm-hmm. she's free. I'm so excited for her. I think everyone is excited for her. She deserves to be free. It seems like she is ready to talk about her conservatorship, her evil dad and family members. I'm really excited. And she also took to Instagram to say that this is what she said. I might as well do a hint of my thoughts on the gram before I go and set things square on Oprah. And
Oprah,
Britney. Woo! I mean, Oprah always has a moment, obviously.
Yes.
She had the Adele, she had Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. And I think Oprah is the perfect person to do a Britney interview, right?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her Montecito home, the luxurious, calm background, her warm voice.
I'm so into it. I'm so happy for Britney. She was like, I have not seen actual cash in 13 years. I'm going to buy some candles. She's just like, she's one of us,
you know?
Yeah. Yes. Amazing. Yeah.
Agreed. Okay. Next one. Oh, sad news here.
Yeah. Well, it's something. Yeah. Guys, iconic pandemic couple, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello have broken up. They've called it quits. Wow. After 2 years together, so many quarantine walks, a yogurt feud, lots of red carpet appearances and, you know, PDA Instagrams. It's all over for them.
Yeah.
They said they're going to remain friends. They still love each other as humans. but you know, their relationship contract is up. So just kidding. I said a couple of pods ago that I was finally sold on their relationship. And
yeah, me too.
And damn. then they immediately broke up and I was like, God damn it.
I know. Yeah.
I don't know who, I mean, we'll always have Senorita, you know, but.
That's true. That's a good song.
I'm like, we'll always have that makeout video, which I will never forget right. before.
Yeah. Yeah. Watching you watch that will just live in my mind forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see who they kind of move on to. Cause they were kind of like perfect for each other in a cringy way.
Totally.
So I'll be interested to see where they go from here. Maybe, you know, Pete Davidson, which yeah. brings us.
He's tied up at the moment.
Yeah, he's tied up with Kim K.
I know. Okay. Yeah. Go,
yeah,
Amelia.
Go ahead.
Shawn Mendes.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry. I just, it's giving Cher. It's giving sadness. So, okay. Pete Davidson celebrated a birthday. So happy birthday to Pete. And you know who was at his birthday party in Las Vegas? Kim K. Frickin' Kris Jenner and Flavor Flav, of all people, were together hanging out with him for his birthday. Discuss. What the hell is going on?
I want you to discuss. What the hell is happening here? I feel like Kate doesn't have enough emotional stock in the Kardashians to be like, rude. Oh, do you? Do you want to discuss, Kate?
I did a presentation in college on Flavor Flav's Flavor of Love. So maybe
the best show
you can cover him about the Kardashians, but I'm invested in Flavor Flav. Actually, I'm not. Did he have the clock? Does he still like wear a clock?
You know what? That is a great, I don't know if he had the clock.
How did you know it was Flavor Flav if he didn't have the clock?
Well, he tweeted it.
I know his face. I've seen a lot of stuff with him in it. So
wow.
It's I just like what a random conglomeration of people, I guess. He had a pendant, but
okay. I'll take it.
Right. And they were wearing like Kim's Skims I don't know. What's the flannels? And she was wearing the bottoms and Pete was wearing the top and Chris was wearing both. Yeah.
Here?
I think Kim is getting jealous that Courtney is having her Travis Barker lead character moment. And she's like, I want the lead character moment back. And so now she's doing this, which honestly, it seems like it's working. So
I know we don't trust this source as like truth sometimes, but I do stalk their Instagram still every day. Did you see that Dumois is like reporting that, like basically insinuating these two, Travis and Courtney, MGK and Megan Fox, are going to go on a trip together? And
oh,
like
really?
Kim and Pete are going to be like there with them, you know? Which will, basically confirm their relationship. And I will keel over dead. I cannot believe this.
It's so calculated to me. Like, this is such a fake. She knows what she's doing. Like, I just, you know, you're like, okay.
I think if she wasn't, I'd be like kind of amused by this. Be like, you know, she can have fun. He's very funny and he's, you know, I don't know, a different perspective than her. I don't know, but I can't enjoy this. I'm too concerned about the like marketing ploy essentially that she's crafting.
Totally. And I think that she's definitely using him and I feel bad for him. Like that makes
me
sad.
But she's so famous. He might as well, like, you know, he already is in the public eye enough, but I don't get, I don't know.
I need him to like write a tell-all memoir in like 10 years with just like a chapter for like each of the women that he has been with. And I just I just need to know, like, just thinking about everyone that he's been with in the past couple years. And like, this is not at all like shaming Pete Davidson. Like, again, like I'm just amazed and impressed.
Right.
I need to hear about them in relation to each other. You know, like it's so weird.
Do you remember when Tea Time would discuss him and Kate Beckinsale? That feels like a different decade of time.
Oh my God.
I'm a different
really
human being. It's weird. Yeah.
It is weird. Also, he doesn't know how to boil water because I'm sorry put that in there, but he was on a podcast and he said, I go to Costco and I get the pre-made ramen noodles and then I go home. And since I don't know how to boil water, since I'm dumb, I go to the Keurig and I use the hot water.
By the way, that wasn't Amelia like editor. This, she literally said, since I'm dumb, like he fully admitted that this is, that's weird.
I can understand being lazy. Like, I'm lazy.
That's true.
I use my electric kettle instead of boiling water. Like, I just flip the switch and wait.
Sure.
Instead of like putting it on the stove. But like, totally. Buddy. Wow. Also, okay.
He knew that Page Six was going to eat this up.
Yeah,
too,
he did.
Oh, Page you know? Six. Yeah.
Okay. And us. So, we're part of the problem. Yeah. It's fine.
We are.
It's
true.
We are.
It's true.
Okay, so keep your eyes open for any other P and Kim, maybe vacation travel photos.
Great.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
All right, next category, we're doing cringe mode. Princess Switch 3 won out. The Jonas Brothers roast will have to wait. We got screeners because somehow we've kept duping. So we can talk about it. Okay, the plot, Kate.
I have to say, I convinced the Tea Time chat to do this because I was like, guys, what if there's a fourth Vanessa Hudgens and we just never find out? Like, we have to watch this movie to
know. That's valid.
Well, I'm a completist. Like, we can't, the rewatchables would never do The Godfather 1 and 2 and not do Godfather 3. I don't know if they've actually done The Godfather 3. But in theory, you know, I mean, we're committed. We're committed. It's not like they would stop on season 3 of Succession on the watch and not cover season 4. We have to do all 3 Princess Switch movies. So I convinced the chat and I do regret it a little bit. This has to be the last Princess Switch movie. And I will address it as though it is. So you probably haven't watched the last few. If you have, I'm sorry.
God bless you.
There are 3 Vanessa Hudgenses. One of them is Stacy. She's a baker from Chicago. And she, in the first movie, met and married a prince of a made-up country whose name I don't remember. And she switched spots with Margaret, who is the queen of Montenegro. I do remember that one. And that was the first movie. In the second movie, Margaret got married to Kevin, who was Stacy's friend. So now Kevin is like the fucking king consort of Montenegro.
Wow.
Whereas Stacy.
Montenegro.
Montenegro. I said Montenegro. That's a real place.
That's
Montenegro.
A real country. That's a real country. Yeah.
It's not a real place. So you have Margaret and Kevin ruling over Montenegro. Stacy and Peter ruling over the other made-up country. And then in the last movie, we also met Fiona, who is like the slutty fun cousin, who's blonde. And she is related to Margaret. And I don't really know anything else about her. She's fun. She's
right.
A degenerate. So in this movie...
Kate, okay, I guess I'll just let you continue. You're mixing up some names here, but that's okay. That's
who
okay.
did I mix up?
Well, so Fiona is
Peter.
Peter.
Peter's the new guy.
And who cares? No one's even paying attention. I was going to let it slide, but since we took a pause. Okay, continue.
Yeah. Okay, you can cut out whatever of this you need to. Anyway.
Leave it in.
This movie is a heist movie. Because why not? So basically, the Vatican gives Montenegro this like fancy fucking star for the top of their Christmas tree. It's called like the Star of Peace. It gets immediately stolen.
Literally, not even 10 minutes into this film, it gets stolen.
Also, I would have loved more background on this thing. I thought it was an ornament and then I forgot what it was. For a second, I thought it was something intangible that like, metaphorically, it's stolen, but it turns out it's like a little thing.
No, it's like a star for the top of a Christmas tree.
Right.
But it literally gets stolen 5 minutes into the movie with like no explanation.
Wait, really quick. Is there powers to this star? Why is this star so important? I never got
it's
that answer.
It's just like gold. It's just a lot of jewels and it's old. Okay. Yeah, it was like belonged to someone old. Okay. So it gets stolen. They have to, for some reason, bring in like Fiona because like she's a criminal to solve it. And she knows,
rude.
She like knows this guy whose name is actually Peter, who's like a spy. So they like go on this heist to like recover the star. They all end up having to dress as Fiona. It makes no sense. There are like
they
actual...
really did not try with this one.
No, I didn't. Anyway, they end up getting the star back and Fiona ends up with Peter. And it's, I guess, happily ever after, except for us, because we didn't get a fourth Vanessa Hudgens. Anyway.
Yeah, that was messed up.
That's the Princess Switch 3.
I hate my life. Okay, let's do highlights. Let's do highlights.
Okay, my highlight is that they do a recap at the beginning of this movie. It's way better. Way better than the one you just heard. And that was helpful for me. I did say who is worse at recaps, me or Vanessa, because it's not the best. It's not the most natural exposition, but it was better than what I just did. So
I liked yours. I liked
thank
it.
Thank you. It has character, you know? My second highlight is that it was smart to focus more on Fiona. This movie is definitely a Fiona starring
centric
role.
Yeah.
Because she was the least boring of the three Vanessas. At least like Vanessa is
agreed
having fun when she's playing like
yes
Fiona with the accent and the hair and the hats. It's like, okay, yeah, at least you're enjoying you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
So that's a highlight.
I totally agree. And also I think your recap of this was honestly better than the entire film. But
thank you so much.
I mean, I'm just telling the truth.
Low bar.
I also agree. I like that Fiona got her main character moment because she is more interesting than those other two boring little turds. No, they're nice.
truly.
I also appreciate the diversity going on with this cast. You know, we get, I'm going to forget everyone's name, but two of the three male romantic leads are people of color, which I appreciate.
Kevin
Peck. Yep.
They didn't try with those names either, for the record.
They really didn't. They're just like, okay, what's the next name? Okay, perfect. Yeah. Vanessa, too, one of her little minions seems like a person of color. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that. And I don't know. Yeah, thank you for the diversity. Yeah.
Like one of the people from the Vatican is the person of color. It's just like very effortless. It's like, it's just, you know.
Very much, yeah.
It
it's like, you know,
seem forced.
People of color can also star in horrible Netflix Christmas comedies. Yeah.
So true.
Would we call this a comp? I'm not even sure what this was.
Rom-com?
To be honest.
It's rom-com, kind of?
Is it?
There's very little rom and very little com in it, so I'm not sure, but okay. What's the next highlight?
We love an end credits musical number. After this movie ends, they play some sort of Christmas song that I assume was like released for this movie. And they all kind of dance in their different little scenes and sing. And that was fun. I was like, oh, it's Vanessa Hudgens and she's dancing.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Yeah. It's like it was trying to be like a fun blooper reel kind of thing. Yeah. But it was just like, this is too forced.
I mean, it wasn't, the execution left something to be desired, but I did appreciate the effort.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I'm giving a personal shout out and highlight to Peter, a.k.a. Remy Heat. He actually brought some good stuff to this movie of all the actors.
True.
First of all, Peter in the movie has the clutch technology, really saves the day, helps his people recover the star or whatever they're looking for. So I thought he had an authentic British accent, which sounded worlds better than Vanessa Hudgens. He's Australian, he's not authentic, but fantastic British accent. Mm-hmm. And in comparison with Vanessa, it was just like night and day.
Yeah.
And then actually some rock solid romantic energy coming out of him. I was, romanced. And the other characters, I can't say the same. Everyone's like just, a cardboard in this movie. And he was the one character that stood out to me. And I was like, buying into it.
I have some things to say about Kevin, but I'll get to that later. I think Kevin deserves a second look as well. All right, for lowlights, why is this a heist movie? Who was like, what should we do to this third Princess Switch movie? I would love to be in like the Netflix meeting room where they were like, guys, what if we introduce spies to the Netflix Christmas universe?
Why not?
Made it Mission Impossible Princess Switch. And everyone was like, yes, fucking genius. And I also would have told you before this moment that like adding a heist makes any movie better. But I think this movie maybe proves that hypothesis wrong.
Your point wrong. Yeah. Totally.
Also, why does Peter have like Iron Man technology?
Don't question him. He's an international man of mystery.
She walks into this like British, old ass British castle. He's like shooting hoops. He goes into the basement and he's like, I'm a spy. I used to work for Interpol. And he brings up like this like literally like in the Avengers movies where you see Iron Man like swooping around all these screens where he can just like grab something and like throw it. Like Peter's got like all these screens where he can just like pull up anything and like find who stole the star in like 2 seconds. Yeah. Like, what is happening?
Crucial part of this story. Yeah.
It's the technology they use for like election night, you know, it's like they have Steve Kornacki yeah. doing it like with all the different polls. He's pulling it off.
Yeah. That's really funny. Oh my God.
I loved it. It was very jarring.
Yeah.
But yeah, Amelia, let's skip to your thoughts on the technology as well. You had a comparison.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought you were being really generous with the Iron Man technology. I thought it looked like 90s Power Rangers. Like I put a photo of like him swiping through his little technology stuff. And then like, the guy, I don't know if anyone is old enough to remember the
Power Rangers
guy. Where he's like a guy stuck in a tube with a face.
You'll have to post these. This is too good. I actually thought this was pulled from the movie. It's the same color scheme and everything.
Yeah, it is.
And I did it a couple, like plus 10 seconds. I was like, oh, that checks out. Must have skipped that part.
It's not good. Yeah,
it's giving like Spy Kids a little bit as well, for sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, speaking of Spy Kids, there's a laser scene.
I can't with this.
There are actually two laser scenes. So first they have the practice laser scene where they're like flipping and doing yoga over the lasers.
It's
and like literally Vanessa Hudgens has like a triple backflip over like some lasers.
Okay. We have to also acknowledge that this is like her sexy moment.
Yeah. No, it's sexually charged backflip.
Extremely.
Yeah.
If you've ever looked at her Instagram feed, you know she loves hot girl shit like that. And it's like, you know what? She put that in the contract, which honestly, I'm not blaming her. Do it. If you can do it. I tried doing a split and I got pulled my groin. So you know what?
Did you? Yeah. Was that recent?
Well, it was like, remember when WAP was big, like a year ago? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to try to do this. And everyone could do splits except for me. And then I pulled my groin. So
I just tried to. Wow. Why didn't you tell us that?
I'm happy. Devastating. Now. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I guess good for her to have her little like sexy spy moment. But literally like he throws her into like a triple like Simone Biles backflip over some lasers. I was like, okay.
It's true.
This can't happen.
Yeah.
Okay, flipping to my next low light. We have a lot. We did not need a tragic backstory for Fiona. This movie did not need flashbacks to Fiona's childhood and how she felt unloved. And like, I just didn't need that. But we needed a fourth Vanessa Hudgens. We did not need a sob story.
You're right.
A villain, you know, redemption arc for Fiona. Yeah. Like, it's fine.
It's so true. And it was just like the reunion with her mom. It was just like, this is the tone. Just totally changed. And yeah. Why are we doing this right now? It's just like, so it's so weird.
That big of a villain. It's okay.
No, she didn't kill anyone.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Why did they not change Cuzzy? Why did they not do that? They should have heard the feedback that I was shouting and changed it. So cringy, you guys.
It's her thing. Liz, it's what she says. I don't know. You can't change her as a person.
Did you have an easier time now that this is her third installment hearing the way that she speaks? Because I did not have any easier of a time.
Like the accents?
Yes, the accents and the delivery and meowing. Why hasn't anyone said that?
No, it was so horrible. And the thing is, but I will say that I think she's doing it to like try to make it a distinct third Vanessa Hudgens, and she shortens everything, like you're saying. She shortens like Cuzzy. She did other shortenings of like other words, and it's just like, this is so like, okay, we know you're not British, like go away.
Right. Also, you're blonde, like you're easy or already easier to tell apart than the
distinct.
Other two.
Yeah,
like, we don't need.
Yeah. The other two are literally cardboard, so it's like you could have done 1% and
Been so true.
The two dopey sidekicks that Vanessa Hudgens has I was not charmed by them. I felt like an early aughts thing. And I was just
totally.
Like, oh my God.
Also, the girl's accent was also everywhere. I was like, where are you from? What's going on?
Lastly, this is apparently a Christmas movie. There was snow on the ground. The star of Pete's thing came from a Christmas tree. No Christmas vibes in this movie. I was like very displeased.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, the set is Christmas decorated. However, I agree. We needed the heist movie totally took us away from like the actual Christmas energy. Like just they go ice skating, whatever. Like there's a Christmas tree in the background of every scene. Fine. But like the actual movie doesn't really have anything to do with Christmas other than trying to retrieve this thing that does happen to be a Christmas ornament.
Yes. And it almost makes it worse. They tried incorporating Christmas things, but the vibe is just not there. It does not feel like a classic Christmas.
They literally had to add the little girl being like, well, I'm at the Ballet Academy and it's Christmas and it's finals, so I'm really stressed out. Like, oh, okay, we get it's that time of year.
I love if anyone was watching this movie being like, where'd the little girl go? You know, like, we need to tell the viewers. What if the viewers are like, where did she go after the last movie? What if they're worried? I was like, no one remembered.
No one cared. Yes. Right, exactly.
Speaking of not remembering characters, this seamlessly brings us to what's aged the best and the worst, Kate.
Okay. So there's this moment in this movie where she's at a party and like she is like in disguise. I don't even know which one it is. One of them is dressed as Fiona. I don't think it's actually Fiona, but I don't remember which one it is. And she like needs to make a quick getaway. And this like mysterious little old man like gives her a key and like her coat. And he turns around and like zooms in on his face as if it's like some sort of like meaningful cameo moment.
Yes.
We need to know.
And I paused it and I was like, who is this? Like, is this a cameo? Like, who am I? Like, why are we focusing so much on this man? So I looked it up on IMDb and he's listed as, quote, Elf Man in all three of these movies. So apparently he has like shown up as this little like magical being who just like, inhabits these movies.
The treatment he got was the Stan Lee treatment in Marvel movies. Where it's like, this is the pillar of Princess Switch.
Exactly. I literally went to IMDb and I was like, what? Like, why? Like, who is this man that we're supposed to be like, oh, it's so and so? And I was like, no, he's literally just the Elf Man. Also, like, does this mean that there's magic in this universe?
Did he do something in the last two movies?
I think it must be, I don't remember, but it must have been something magical because he like comes in at like the perfect moment when she like needs to make a getaway and like gives her a key.
Right.
So like it implies that like magic exists in
and
this
also
universe.
Elf Man is a magic name.
Right. So
true.
I'm like, why
so
did
true,
we Mara. Add a mysterious magical creature to the Princess Switch universe and with like no explanation? I don't know. I got
that's rude. That's so rude.
I don't know why I put this in age the best or worst. I guess age the worst because it makes no sense.
Age the worst.
Three movies later, I got nothing.
Also, no one watching these films is going to search for Elf Man. That's
right.
The thing.
No one's like, ooh, I can't wait to see if Elf Man pops up in this one.
Right.
No.
Exactly.
Terrible.
Yes. On that note, worst. Honestly, I'm sorry to say, but this series is not aged well because like Kate said, if you're not going to add a goddamn fourth Vanessa Hudgens, literally fuck off.
Like, are we doing? What are we doing here, actually?
What are we doing? The gag has ended. No need for another film. This one was not even cringy fun. It was just genuinely bad. The plot, I don't even, a Christmas star. That was literally, it just wasn't, no thank you. No thanks.
Yeah. You got to lean in, you guys. If you're going to do it, we got to do it. We got to add one every time.
Yeah, exactly.
We just have to.
What has aged the best, though, is Ocean's 12, the movie classic, and that laser beam scene. It's like, if you know, you know. This was the identical, would try to be an identical replica, except just like, well, actually the laser beam scene was pretty sexy. Vincent Cassell was like also, you know, moving and grooving in these laser beams in Ocean's 12, but it tried. It was damn near the same music, or at least tried to be.
Yeah.
It was the same editing, the same way they filmed it. And I was just like, you know what? There can only be one. And it's certainly not the Princess Switch 3 laser beam sequence. So I just wanted to say that's aged really well.
Most certainly is not. Should we do MVPs?
Do it.
All right. I want to talk about Kevin. Liz gave Peter his due. I was not impressed by Kevin in the last couple of movies. Kevin is the baker from Chicago. First movie, he's like friends with Stacy and like he has a little thing with Margaret. Second movie, they like there is the whole romance plot. They get married. So in this movie, he's like the fucking king of Montanaro and he has a beard and it looks great. And he's wearing a lot of like very close fitting turtlenecks. Just a lot of different shades of turtlenecks. Yeah. Some nice overcoats. Really good. Like Christmas outerwear, and he's played by Nick Sagar, and he did what he had to do. He looked great. You're crushing it, Kevin.
I will say, to Kevin's credit, he clearly has a personal trainer in that castle.
Yep.
A lot of tight turtlenecks on the biceps. I you know how I feel about Peter. I'm going to jump in and just give it to Peter while we're in this MVP. But I respect it. I respect Kevin.
Yeah. The glow up for Kevin. Yeah. I guess like there's only so much you can do with every day if you're a Chicago baker that's in charge of a country. Like you probably aren't that qualified. So he probably is just doing like P90X every day. that's all he does.
It's true.
It's working for him.
Yeah. Amelia, who's your MVP?
You know, I guess Vanessa. I say that knowing like, yeah, you know, she hasn't, she's interesting. I mean, it's funny like how that, you know, that video early in quarantine where she was like, I don't care that people are dying.
That also that, didn't age well. Talking about
it did not age well. Yeah, exactly. And but she's managed to get past it, which I guess is a feat. So I guess her trying with the script that has her saying, there was like a moment where she was like at a Christmas party and she's like, this looks like the elves smoked a little too much mistletoe. I just like, I can't. As an actor, I'm not an actor, but like if I were an actor, having to say that line, that elves smoked a little too much mistletoe. I mean, I can't even. I'm sorry.
You just walk off? Yeah.
Yeah. Girl, I'm sorry.
There were a couple moments in this movie where like, I just think, I'm like, does she, is she like really in on this? Like, is she like, yes, is she, we're crushing it. You know?
Yeah. Is she smart enough to know? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. But I'll commend her, I guess, for milking this franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good know. Netflix franchise. It's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah.
Good job,
all right,
Vanessa.
Let's do the lightning round. Rank the Vanessa Hudgenses, Kate.
This was my question, and then I also answered it. So apologies. But here's my ranking, power ranking of the Vanessas in this movie. Number one, Fiona. It's got to be. She's fun. She's the most easily recognizable because she's blonde. She's got great hats, fun fashion, and she does have an annoying accent, but like at least she's, you know, having some fun with the role.
It's true.
Second, Vanessa Hudgens is Stacey. She's with Kevin, which is great. Good for her. She has no accent, which is also good. And that's pretty much it. That's all Stacey's got going for her. Number three is Margaret. Worst Vanessa Hudgens. She is just dead weight in this movie. She's the one who's the queen. She's boring. She's got a terrible accent. She's difficult to tell apart from Stacey. And she has a fucking boring husband. Edward. Yeah. Like, who cast Edward?
So boring.
And
so boring.
This role, like if you're, I say this all the time, but if you're going to cast a prince in a Christmas movie or a Hallmark movie or any movie, like literally he just has to be hot like that. He just has to be. That's it. And Edward he just is not. Apologies to that man, but he's so boring.
Right. It's the only requirement. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tough. That's my ranking. Thoughts?
Amelia?
I think that's perfect. I think you are so correct with everything you just said. And also, I mean, like you said, Fiona, she's the only one actively trying to save this movie. You know? That is it. She's the only one with an actual character arc. So, good for you, Fiona.
The only Vanessa Hudgens I can see ranking higher is the fourth non-existent Vanessa Hudgens. Like, what could have been the potential of whatever this character was could have been the greatest Vanessa Hudgens. And it was a missed opportunity.
Right. Let's discuss.
All right.
On that note, how could they have worked in a fourth Vanessa Hudgens?
Let's fix this movie. Okay?
Yeah.
So I had an answer and then you guys came up with a way better answer. So I'm just going to start with mine just to get it out of the way. So
this was really funny. Okay. Go so
keep. The beginning of this movie, they're auditioning yodelers for this like end of like this big, like, you know, Christmas star ceremony at the end of the movie. And then like the very last scene of the movie, they have this yodeler who's like performing. And I was like, just make the yodeler Vanessa Hudgens. Like no explanation.
So easy.
We don't need any backstory. Like, she's just like another lookalike who's like the yodeler that they hired.
Right.
But you guys,
at the
that
very
was,
least.
I mean, bare minimum. It's one scene.
You know what?
Put her
also,
on a wig.
Instead of Elfman, it could have been Vanessa Hudgens as like
totally.
The wink. Like there's some secret in the shadows, Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
That they don't even know yet and haven't uncovered. Which
like
would lead
Vanessa,
to a great next movie.
Yeah. Like the Vanessa fairy godmother, like pulling all the strings.
Exactly. Okay, Amelia.
No, I honestly, they could have stuck her in, like, at the very least, as Fiona's mother in the flashback where they had some woman in a wig and you didn't even see her face. You could have just had Vanessa Hudgens in that role for 2 seconds. It does not take that much.
Yep.
Agreed. And then I thought, really, because the villain in this movie, I didn't even realize it was the villain until like the very end. It's like you can't have a fourth Vanessa Hudgens as the person who actually stole the Christmas star or whatever the fuck it was.
It's a no-brainer.
It's actually offensive that they didn't do that.
I know, agreed. I agree. Yep.
I think they could have put her as the young mom. At this point, they could have put her in the old mom. The old mom comes back to like reunite and reconcile with Vanessa Hudgens present day. Fuck it. I mean, nothing's off limits here. Just put her in older makeup or you don't even do that and just make another Vanessa Hudgens be Vanessa Hudgens' mom.
She 1000% should have been in old makeup. Like yeah. full like Jared Leto, like House yes. of Gucci, like unrecognizable, like yes. beautiful, like prosthetic makeup. But then like, it's just also Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah. Take yeah. 1% of Peter's technology CGI budget and just put yes. that to makeup and we would be yeah, better
it's
off.
True. It's
yeah,
true.
I mean, that would have been an incredible bit. She like shows up at the end. Suddenly I care about this backstory. I don't mind right. like the tragic flashbacks that we've had because it has led to this incredible moment of this fourth Vanessa
Hudgens. It's a Hudgens. Reason. Yeah, right.
And it pays off. Like all of our investment in this movie has paid off because we get
so fucked up,
Vanessa. I know. Yeah. It's just an unbelievable oversight from Netflix.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah.
Shameful.
Okay, let's do last category. Tea Time's unanswerable question. These are really fun, and then I got a corny one. So, Kate, go ahead.
Guys, did blonde hair go out of style literally as soon as I did it?
This is so funny to me.
There have been a series of articles this week based on a series of TikToks about how Gen Z has declared blonde hair as untrendy and out of fashion. They're using the word choogy as well, but I've just decided to stop using that word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on TikTok, there's been this trend of like showing all of these celebrities who recently have dyed their hair from blonde to brown and being like, blonde hair is out. Like, it's not cool anymore. Like, Hailey Bieber dyed her hair. Gigi Hadid dyed her hair. Like, all of these celebrities are going darker and people are like, I think it's over. Like, blonde hair is just out of fashion. And fucking me, who literally 3 weeks ago chopped my hair off and dyed it blonde, was like, it's a new me. I am now fucking scrolling TikTok being like, God damn it. I have never been blonde before in my life. I decided to do it now.
I was just going to ask you if you have ever dabbled. This is so funny, your timing. Being a brunette, especially you were a true rich brown hair your whole life. You go blonde and now the world's decided against
it. I know, really tough. Now, I have to say, I think this is bullshit because it's winter and people always dye their hair darker in the winter. It's like the trend. You know, you go lighter for summer, you go darker for winter. So part of me is like, okay, let's not like make something out of nothing. But also I am just a little bit offended.
But Kate, this means that you have to live out the winter and spring as a blonde before then you're like better off as a blonde for the summer.
Yeah,
are you willing
to
keep that maintenance? That's a lot. I mean, your hair is very dark brown.
Yeah, we'll see. Olaplex has become my best friend, so.
Oh, fancy. Nice.
I'll keep you posted on that journey. If I end up having to cut it all off and, you know, regret it forever, then I guess we'll know that this is
Amelia,
where it started.
Will you ever go blonde? You've also got great colored hair. Nice, rich.
You're very
color.
Kind. It's a lot of upkeep, like Kate said, I think. I'm too lazy, you know? Maybe one of these days, but I feel like that's probably behind me now. But you know what? I think it's great just because stupid Gen Z is saying, like, Gen Z, they made what? The Paul brothers famous. So, like, honestly,
and
I wouldn't.
They're back in on Crocs. So, like, I don't trust them anyway.
Exactly. I don't trust them. Don't trust them. Love them, but don't trust them.
I want to get a perm, but we can talk about that later.
All right. Well, come back to that.
Instead of dyeing my hair blonde, I got highlights once and then, or I got
me too
balayage,
just got highlights, but you're like not into them anymore, right?
Well, I got them in July, Kate, so now a lot of time has passed. It's more of a summer thing, but now they're just grown out halfway on my head, so they don't look great anymore.
That does happen to hair.
Hair does grow,
crazy.
Okay, next question, Amelia.
Also, I just was on page 6 for 2 seconds, but I guess Kaia Gerber and Jacob Elordi broke up, so. Oh. FYI.
I didn't know they were still together.
Sad. Kate, tune in.
Newsflash.
Once they stopped going to the farmer's market together, I stopped paying attention.
Understandable. So anyway, to anyone who cares. But anyway, okay. I want to know what Lil Nas X's next art pop will be. Like, you know, Gaga did it first with, well, I mean, others before her did, but she labeled it as art pop. And he's taking this to a new level. He's done the Nike shoes, which he got like sued for, you know. Mm-hmm. He did the Taco Bell thing. He had a pregnancy. And now he has a 20-minute segment on Maury that I watched like pretty much all of. And it's pretty funny. He involves the actor who was in his What I Want video. I think that's the name of the video. And he, when they were making out on the football stadium, and it's like, I have a boyfriend and I want to like tell him I love him. And he's on more. And like, and if you've ever watched the show Maury, it's like a watered down version of Jerry Springer. And And Maury's in his 80s, but he's just like, he's into this, which I love. And it's like, you are not the father. Yeah. Anyway, I watched a lot of Maury growing up.
But, yeah, me too.
Okay, good. And and he involves, it's like this elaborate, I get art pop where he has the dancer who he made out with in the video with the, if you watch the whole video, he goes to the house and he sees, it's like, oh my God, he's actually married with a child. That they bring out the wife and the child and they do it all. And like, he has like the running off stage and it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I think they actually aired it on Maury, which is incredible.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. It's amazing. So I want to know, what will his next art pop be? There's so many options.
I think he has too much time on his hands. And I think that he should just go on tour instead. And then we can go and enjoy his concerts. And he doesn't have to make 30-minute, incredibly elaborate Maury videos.
He has the resources to like work with these major brands.
Or
icons, which I would call Maury an icon.
Maury is an icon, yeah.
I wish I couldn't even answer this because I'm just not creative in that way. Like, I would never have bet or dreamt up the things he's already done. So it's like,
that's true.
Who knows what I'll do next? It's not me, certainly, with my pea brain.
I totally agree. I would love to see him maybe like hosting Jeopardy.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Would that be interesting? Maybe.
What about like a Bachelor like spoof?
I would die if we did like, if we did a Lil Nas X Bachelor, I would die. Yeah.
It'd be incredible.
I would fucking love that. Yeah. The one thing that would save that franchise. Yeah, totally.
I just really enjoy when he spoofs like aggressively like heteronormative things.
Yes. You know, like, totally.
So I just wanted to like continue this journey of just like continuing to spoof things like that.
Yeah, that's a really good call.
I love that.
I have a really corny question, and I'm sorry, but I just love the holidays, and I'm here.
No, that's great.
And Thanksgiving is next week, and I just love talking about these things.
And we're gonna be off next week, so you have to talk about it now.
Exactly. No time like the present. What is the best Thanksgiving dish to you two? I'm curious your thoughts.
Okay, so here's my Thanksgiving strategy. I've talked about it before on this podcast, I think. Turkey, get rid of it. It's overrated. My stomach doesn't have room for it. My plate doesn't have room for it. You got to focus on the sides. First round at the Thanksgiving table, exclusively sides. You got to get the mashed potatoes. You got to get the sweet potatoes. You got to get any veggies that you want, any cranberry sauce, because the sides are the best part of Thanksgiving.
But the turkey is almost a vehicle for the sides. Mashing it up with like cranberry.
It just takes up
cranberry
space.
And turkey.
Oh, the best. I actually really want a Thanksgiving sandwich, which I normally try to do.
Oh, shit.
Multiple times in November, I've dropped the ball.
I walked past, what's the place that we always got catering from?
Mendocino Farm.
Sweet
Mendocino.
Green.
I walked past
Green.
We did also get a lot of Sweet Green. I walked past Mendocino the other day and they had the sign out for their turkey, their Thanksgiving sandwich with the cranberry. And I was like, oh my God, that is really good.
Oh my God.
That's when the turkey is really at its peak. Like the day after when you can make it into sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah. That didn't answer your question. I actually like sweet potatoes the best. That's my favorite Thanksgiving dish.
I'm into that.
Love sweet potatoes.
I honestly have to agree with like the winter squashes. I had this one.
Oh,
it was
fancy.
What was it called? It was called a buttercup.
You tweeted about it.
Yes. It was a buttercup, and I ate the fucking rind off of it. It was so
Yeah,
it was that good. It's so good. Just like squash. So good. And all you need to do is put some like olive oil on it and just salt and pepper it. It was so easy. And put
You're
it in
so
the
refined, Amelia.
Have you guys tried that like delicata squash that was like really in last year?
No. That's good too. What is that?
What are we talking about here?
It's similar, but I love it. You're right. I love any of those like squash, like sweet potato, butternut squash. Pumpkin, like I'm in on anything related to those flavors.
Yeah, that's the shit.
Totally.
I love a good canned cranberry sauce.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's non-negotiable.
No, that's good.
Table.
Definitely pro canned cranberry for sure.
You guys gonna post an Instagram of your plates? Are you into that? Are you one of those people?
No.
Maybe this year.
Oh, I used to post like our pie table because my mom's family is really big and we always end up having like 12 pies. So I usually will post a picture of the dessert table.
But. That sounds pie. Okay, sorry.
I'm really
what's
hungry.
The best? Wait, what's the best pie? Pumpkin,
obviously.
Pumpkin for Thanksgiving. Yeah,
pecan is also elite.
Oh, good.
Is it?
Not it on pecan? Right. Okay, maybe I don't know. That may be a more Indiana thing. We love pecan pie in Indiana.
You know what, you guys? This Thanksgiving, I'm just really grateful for you guys. Really grateful to our producer, aww, Kaya, and everyone who listens.
Love you, Kaya.
Spread holiday cheer as much as we can. Yes, grateful for you guys who listen, and Kaya who edits this godforsaken thing. Okay, that's it. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yay.
Joy to all. Okay. I'm Liz Kelly. I forgot how to wrap this up.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.
Ho, ho, ho. Christmas is next. Yay.